Romans chapter 3 and reading from verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins of the past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Well, may God bless to us there that reading from his word. Well, we reach the letter R in the alphabet, as we're looking through the alphabet and using it to look at different things the scriptures tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to consider Jesus as Redeemer this evening. The word Redeemer is only found in Job 19, where he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. But Jesus' work of redemption is spoken of very often throughout the New Testament in particular. We're reminded by Job that Jesus is a living Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Yes, he died for our sins, but he bodily rose again from the dead. And every person needs to be able to say of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer, he says. And if we can't say that, if that isn't true of a person, they're cut off from God, they're separated from God, and they face ultimately God's righteous eternal punishment. Now, redemption by a Redeemer was a very well-known practice amongst the people of Israel. So when it's spoken of by the apostles in the New Testament, it was something they were very, very familiar with. God gave a law of redemption to the people of Israel in Leviticus chapter 25. In that law, regulations were given for the redemption of people's property and possessions and land that they may have had to sell when going through difficult times, or for the redemption of people who had been sold into slavery. So the word redemption had the idea of buying back somebody's property, somebody's land, or somebody's freedom from slavery. The person that did the redeeming, the buying back, had to be a relative of those whose land it was, or property it was, or who had been sold into slavery. So really, redemption really was a buying back, a deliverance by the payment of a price by a near kinsman, a relative. Now, when we apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ as a redeemer of guilty, lost sinners like ourselves, who are in bondage to sin and to Satan, who face deservedly God's righteous eternal punishment, to be our Redeemer, he had to become our near kinsman. He had to take the same nature as ourselves. He had to truly be God manifest in the flesh. The one who is the Word in the beginning with God and was God had to be made flesh and dwell amongst us. But in our nature, without sin, he then had to pay the price for our redemption. And that's the amazing thing. The price he had to pay to deliver the likes of you and me from bondage to sin and Satan and from God's eternal wrath. It's an astronomical, enormous price. It's set out for us in the reading that we had. We're told, first of all, in verse 24, that redemption is in Christ Jesus. It's only Christ Jesus can redeem sinners. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can deliver sinners from bondage to sin and Satan and from God's eternal wrath. And the price that was paid by him so that we may be redeemed, he goes on to tell us what it is. He says, the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So the price that Jesus paid to redeem sinners was nothing less than shedding his blood and dying on the cross and receiving the wrath of God, all the sins of all those he would redeem deserve in their place. There's nothing we can pay to redeem ourselves. There's nothing we can offer to God to redeem ourselves. But the price that Jesus had to pay to redeem you was enormous. It was the shedding of his blood. It was dying on the cross. It was being a propitiation for your sins, burning the wrath of God they deserve. Also, all with the aim that you be delivered from bondage to Satan, to sin, and from God's wrath. And the same thing set out for us in Colossians and Ephesians. We're two very similar verses, really. In Colossians 1:14, it says, talking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Being saved from God's wrath and being forgiven our sins go hand in hand. But they only can happen through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have redemption through Christ's blood. Christ who gave himself an atoning sacrifice for sin. And it's all, we're reminded in Ephesians there, a result of God's grace, God's undeserved favour to us. Then again in Galatians 3, we're told this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The curse of the law is the penalty we deserve for breaking God's good and holy law. Ultimately, it's God's righteous, eternal wrath. That is the curse of the law. And the price that Jesus had to pay to redeem us, to deliver us from the curse of the law, was being made a curse for us. In other words, him bearing the penalty, the curse we deserve for breaking God's law in our place. Jesus, when he shed his blood and died on the cross, was treated as if he'd broken God's law. As if he'd broken God's law all the times, all those throughout history he would redeem deserves. You see, it's little wonder he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you can't even begin to imagine what that involved. The wrath of God, all the sins of all that would be saved by him fell upon him on that cross. He became a curse for us, for everyone that he would save. He bore the penalty, the curse of the law in our place on the cross. So it was an enormous price. He took the curse, the penalty for the sins of all he would save. Then we're told in Titus 2 verse 14, Jesus Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. He gave himself to the death of the cross. His death wasn't something that he had no control over, out of his hands. He actually willingly gave himself to it. We've seen recently, going through Luke in the evening, how he set his face to go toward Jerusalem, how he told the disciples when he was in Jerusalem he'd be rejected by the Jewish religious leaders and be crucified and rise again from the dead. So he gave himself to the cross to redeem the likes of you and me. And the price paid was his shed blood and death on the cross. He took the punishment, all the iniquity of all those who believe upon him deserves. But notice, it tells us he redeems us. He gave himself to redeem us so that we might be his own peculiar people who would be purified and zealous for good works. So Christ has redeemed me and he's redeemed you so that we would live lives honouring and glorifying to him. We have the same idea in Corinthians when it says, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And he goes on to say, now this is the consequence of that really, that we should glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. So it's our testimony, we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then we should be seeking to live to honour and glorify him. That's our responsibility. Then again in Hebrews 9 and verse 12, we're told that Jesus has redeemed us. He's purchased eternal redemption for those who believe on him. It's not by religious observance. It wasn't by all the Old Testament sacrifices people would be redeemed. This is what it says. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So it wasn't by them offering up the Old Testament sacrifices they were going to be redeemed. They were types of the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and his great atoning sacrifice for sin, so that all who believe upon him obtain eternal redemption. But not only are we not redeemed by religious observance, we're certainly not redeemed by finance, by the idea. And some people still have it today. It's not a common thing today. It was certainly common a few hundred years ago. People thought by giving money to the church that they were redeeming themselves. They thought that was a way they could be redeemed. But God, through Peter, reminds us we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of the sinless Son of God in human flesh was shed on Calvary's cross when he gave himself an atoning sacrifice for sin to redeem you and me. What a thing when you think about that. The blood of God the Son in human flesh was shed to redeem you. What a staggering thing. To deliver you from bondage to sin and Satan, to deliver you from God's wrath, to deliver you from all iniquity, to deliver you from the curse of the law. And of course, it's not surprising when we come to the very end of the Bible and we come to the book of Revelation, it speaks of Jesus the Redeemer, and it speaks of the praise of Jesus as our Redeemer. It says this in Revelation chapter 5. Sing a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You see, we belong to God by creation, but we have sinfully departed from God, our Maker and Creator. But Jesus was slain on the cross. Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross to redeem us so that we might belong to God, be delivered from bondage to Satan and sin, and belong to the living God. And the redemption through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ extends to every part of this earth. All tribes, people, tongues, nations, whoever in the world believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is redeemed by his precious blood. And all those who have been redeemed by his precious blood and will be before he comes again will all together sing a song of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, sing to his glory who redeemed us by his own precious blood.